Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And it's the same idea. From God, who is the power, we are delegated the right to call on that name and use that power. And that was God's plan for the father in the home, not only just for the Christian at work or on the street or at school, the students, but it's the same concept. He was delegating this plan.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
And in the words of my pastor, Todd Reed, it is on.
It's on.
And on. You know, guys, if you've listened to the show a few times, you've heard that introduction message there. My name is Corey Callicott. Well, I'm excited today to introduce to you the voice of Truth Infusion. This is Mr. Corey Callicott. Man, say hello to the listeners.
Well, hey, guys, it is me. It's kind of awkward. Yeah, you get more than just 30 seconds today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a station manager tell me one time, who is this guy that says his name? I said, I've got to get him on here, introduce him to our listeners. Corey is associate pastor at the church that I attend, Redwater First Baptist. And man, you cover so many stuff, so many roles at the church for us. He's a blessed, anointed, spirit-filled man of God, family man. He loves youth. He leads the youth. He leads our worship. And he is just a pillar for what we do down there. And no, sometimes it's awkward to hear people talk about you, but I want the people to know who you are.
Well, man, again, I know who I am, you know, so you're saying those things, and I'm sitting there, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Isn't it good to hear what God can do?
Man, if the walls could speak, you know, they would tell you who it was, but I'm thankful for what the grace of God has done and provided for me, an outlet of ministry, and you mentioned some of those things, and I'm very privileged to be where I'm at and able to do what I'm doing with my family, with my friends, and the community here in Redwater, and it is a blessing. I'm excited about what God is doing, even partnering my life and our family and our church and this community with this ministry.
Yeah. Well, me too. No doubt. I've got so much love and support and coverage from you guys. Corey's got some things on his heart. God's been really working into you, and he's begun teaching, learning this, I'm sure, personally.
No doubt.
How it works for me. God begins to put something on me personally, and I usually get so passionate about that, I turn around and start spilling it on other people. And I was thinking about this just now. God just put this on my mind, and maybe I'll throw this out there and kind of intro into what you want to go into today, because we're going to really began talking family.
Amen.
And the foundation of the family that God, his God's ideal and
that's
what it's
right.
for and how it works. The other day, I put this on Facebook, but I was blown away when I saw this just a few days ago. An ad came out supporting Obamacare.
Okay.
An ad company put out several of these things, 10 or 12 one-page ads. And here's basically what it was. It was a guy and a lady together. She was holding birth control pills, the package thing. And the commentary on the side, the text said, I'm serious, I'll paraphrase it, but it was actually probably a little bit more graphic than this, was basically, oh my goodness, he's so hot.
Wow.
Okay. Listen to this. I hope he's as easy as it was to get this birth control. My insurance covered this, and you can have it too. And I thought, culture is eroding because that now is what they're doing. They're trying to get out to that generation of the millennials and bring them in to agree with and support Obamacare, and they're doing it that way. And it just, to me, breaks my heart because it shows where culture is headed. So I'm going to pitch that to you, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And that is exactly, David, that's exactly a sign, a symptom. You're going to hear this word, a crack.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crack in our culture that we're starting to notice, that some are. The sad part is many of us maybe aren't. A couple weeks ago, sitting in the service, and pastor was preaching, and man, I just really felt like the Lord downloaded this thought into my mind. So I heard it clearly. It was succinct. I said, okay, I'm just going to write this down. I don't know what it's for, and maybe it's for today, but listen to this. With the growing absence of the dynamic of family in the culture, there are certain characteristics that this generation does not have reflex to because they've not been introduced to it through the core values of family.
Oh, values.
Values.
Huge. Huge word.
What and what even that ad and even not just the ad, of course, with the latest things we see through the pop culture, Miley Cyrus, and the things that are just broadcasted out there that are making headlines that I'm surprised they do, but even they're still a part of the culture that realize and recognize that, okay, something's not right about this. And I mentioned that word crack. Cracks in the foundation, cracks in the society. The other day I was walking outside in my office a few weeks ago, and I noticed this little walkway we have in between the buildings, there's just these cracks, these surface cracks right across. I was like, that's interesting, man. That's kind of weird. So I did what every handyman does. I went down to the hardware store, and I picked up some concrete crack sealer.
All right.
And I gave it to our custodial staff, and they put it in there. Well, it wasn't long at all. After that, it had filled up the cracks and come back, and sure enough, I looked out there just this week, and the cracks are still there. The fill did not do the job.
Yeah.
And from a little bit of history with construction and stuff, I've come to realize it wasn't because the crack sealer doesn't work. It's because it can't seal what that concrete needs. There's a deeper issue.
Right, absolutely.
Now, that's outside, right? I just came from the school, and then a little concrete. They got big cracks in the concrete, and that's outside. We don't think about those things that are outside a lot, and I think when we see them, it gets our attention, mm-hmm. much like this ad, much like the cultural issues with pop culture in a song or something some actor or some musician says. It gets our attention outside, but man, the real concern is when we start to notice those cracks in the home. Time to time in this area, the soil's not always consistent with a good foundation or a good structural home, and that's what you'll start to see.
And much like you alluded to in your that illustration, we tend to want to spackle over the top of foundational flaws.
Cover it up, and then what happens? Well, they reappear.
Yeah.
It's deeper than just the surface.
Yeah, in the same vein, me being an RN, mm-hmm. deal a lot with wound care.
Okay.
And the last thing you want with someone with a compromised wound is for it to heal over at the top.
Ooh.
Before it heals from the bottom.
Right, right.
If that happens, then all you have is a cavity that allows an infection to fester.
Oh, man.
And when it breaks open the surface again, it's going to be worse than it was before. Got to heal from the bottom up or in the foundational issue. It's got to be healed from the flaw.
Yeah, to use the medical cliche, you can't just put a Band-Aid on it.
Absolutely right.
You can't just spackle these cracks that I'm beginning to see, and I think you see in touch with the family and community and such like that, that are real, they're visible, mm-hmm. and eventually they are bringing about destruction,
yes,
not only
do.
For the culture. I think Abraham Lincoln said it right when he said the saga of the home is the saga of the nation at large.
Boy, that's good.
So when we start to see these cracks in the home, and folks, we're not talking about just the physical sheetrock mud walls. We're talking about the actual core values of what God called and instituted family. When we begin to see those cracks, there is no good medicine. There's no just feel-good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use the phrase? It takes truth.
Yeah.
It takes truth to get in those cracks to restore what needs to be there. And that's what we want to deal with today.
Yeah. We want our flesh would like to have the easy bubblegum cotton candy fix because that truth infusion to the source of the problem a lot of times is uncomfortable to deal with.
Right.
It's effort. It takes sometimes it don't feel good to open up the wound and to clean it out.
No, it doesn't. You know, Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when God steps on this earth and he gives the most powerful message, the powerful sermon, mm-hmm. right at the beginning of his public ministry, in chapter 7, if you look at that, the very last, it's where he says this, in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," everything he had just said mm-hmm. in the previous two chapters, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall." Why? For it was founded on the rock.
Yeah.
"But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended. The floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What a powerful word to finish up this sermon as he's about to take these listeners, these would-be disciples, and these soon-to-be disciples, and send them out. That's the last thing he says.
Yeah, and here's what just popped into my heart. He's speaking to this crowd. He gives them this final word, and really he was calling out two groups of people.
Yes.
All of them heard.
Yes,
all of them
right.
heard the words of life from the living word.
Yes, sir.
Speaking the written word. He spoke out that truth, but some would listen
right.
and receive and live on it, and some would not.
And it doesn't matter what culture. It doesn't matter what generation you are from. I remember as a kid, you and I are near the same age, as well as J-Bo. We just talked about J-Bo. But I remember as a kid, as a teenager, and the adults in our fellowship would say, oh, man, you guys got it so bad. And I remember thinking as a kid, it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
But now that I'm a parent
and
I look at this generation, I'm echoing some of the same things. Man, you guys got it bad. Boy, there's some bad things going on in the culture. Bless your heart.
I told somebody just 2 days ago, I wouldn't go back to my teenage years for anything. And now my kids, seeing what they deal, what they deal with now, is something that if you heard it was going on when I was a teenager, it was kept quiet, and
right.
it was every once
right.
in a while. It's every day, man.
Now it's YouTube with thousands of hits.
It's every, yeah.
So it does, but it does not matter the culture. It does not matter the generation. It does not matter your part of the world. Even as Jesus said right here, everybody's going to get the effects of this, of living in this world, this fallen creation. Everybody's going to get the rains and the winds, but the results of that is based on the foundation. Is based on the foundation.
That's good.
And a foundation of family is, I believe, what he's talking about, because it was part of the Hebrew culture. It was part of what they practiced. It was part of what they taught. So for me, and if we can, where I want to take this and where I want to look at today is that concept, the foundation of the family. And when you're studying the Word, and man, I know you're a great teacher, great student of
Thank
the
you.
Word, that law of first mention.
Yeah, the first mention.
Whenever God says something first, we need to pull up to the edge of our seat,
yeah.
and we need to find out what he says. So when we want to look at family, where do we go except for the book of beginnings, the
Come
book
on.
Of Genesis? So Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. Familiar passage, you might have put this to memory before, but Genesis chapter 1, 26. Let's look at where it all begins, the first mention of family, and here we have it. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now listen to this right here. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Right there in the book of beginnings, we have the beginning of what I'm just going to call just the makeup or the outline of the family right
okay.
here. It's the very foundation. And what do you see? Verse 26, here's three things I want to just give you that I find right here in Genesis chapter 1. The first is this. What is the purpose of the family? It's to reflect the glory of God in earth through representative rule. To reflect the glory of God in earth through representative rule. He says in verse 26 and again in 28, let them have dominion.
Right.
Now, how do you get dominion? You right. only get it from the one who has the dominion to begin with, who
yeah.
holds the power. And God being king of the universe, possessor of the heavens and the earth that Abraham said, he gives it to man to represent him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning. Second thing I see right here for the purpose of family. Why do we have family? Is this to replicate the image of God through godly offspring.
Amen.
Very key. Our culture, going back to that ad you said right there, our culture does not get that, David.
Mm.
Our culture does not see that. And therefore, we deal with problems with childbirth. And that sounds so awkward to say, problems with childbirth, but really, we don't understand what is the purpose of offspring. What is the purpose of childbearing?
Yeah.
And I think it's right here. God says this, I want to replicate my image. He said, in the image of God, he created them. Why did he do that? He wanted to replicate his image.
And so you and I have discussed this before, really speaking about the sin nature in that time, but it's the same concept that the plan of God was that the man would pass along to his offspring the image of God that he had stamped on Adam, that divine nature.
Yes.
And his original intent was that we would all experience that even to 2013. God would have us still in that relationship through
his foundational glory.
Yeah.
For his glory, his image replicated throughout mankind. One more thing that I see right here in initial purpose of the family when God created them male and female is this: to relate the unity of heaven in the locality of earth. To relate the unity of heaven. Mm. What do we find here? He says in verse 20, let us, the Trinitarian unity that we find right there. And what does he do? He creates male and female, a unified front, a unified representation, to take Jesus' words in the prayer, as it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. Mm-hmm. In creating man, that's what God was trying to do with this representative rule, with this replication of his image, and the relation that we find in the heavenly realms, in the spirit realm, to be now represented in the earthly realm. This is all the beginning purpose of family. Now, it's hard to look now. It's kind of like looking at those cracks in the wall. It's hard to understand how did they get there.
Yeah.
Because it seems so foreign. How did our family, how did our culture, and specifically the byproduct of our family, the offspring, the children of our culture, how did we get to this point where we're so disturbed? And our culture recognizes this, David. This is not just a message from family advocacy. This is not just a message from the pulpits. But even our culture, even government studies from the Census Bureau, government studies on child development, there's a target that they found in recent studies. And here's the main common bond, the main problem that we see in children: it's fatherlessness.
Oh,
fatherlessness. Goodness. Now, you see the cracks, but that's just the results. That's just the showing. Listen to these six areas where they found a common bond with people dealing with these problems. All of them had lack of father: poverty, drug and alcohol abuse, mental and physical health problems, educational, a lack of achievement in education, crime, and sexual activity.
Even now, as you say that, dear brothers, friends, family that I've seen come through these issues that God is in the process or has delivered them from some of that list right there.
Sure.
I can identify that just in what their life. Yeah, they came from that type of lack.
We're not talking about theory here. We're talking about real life.
Everyday life.
And some may say, well, I don't agree with all statistics. I can give you another statistic that may something different. Listen, you cannot deny personal experience. And in being a pastor in a student ministry and watching family after family come through, student after student come through the doors, and being involved in church ministry around children, it is the same. I see the trend there. I see the statistics line up. When that man that God created in his image to rule on his behalf, to show the unity of heaven, is out of place, cracks are going to start forming.
I was studying the other day in Mark. Chapter 1, Jesus comes into the synagogue and he immediately starts teaching and he's blowing their minds. Because it tells us they were astonished because he spoke as one having authority. Not as the scribes.
Yeah.
And that word authority is exousia. It means a delegated authority. Mm. It means that, and we have that delegated authority because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And it's the same idea. From God, who is the power, we are delegated the right to call on that name and use that power. And that was God's plan for the Father in the home.
Yes.
Not only just for the Christian at work or on the street or at school, the students, but it's the same concept. He was delegating this plan, this role, this foundational institution into the home. It was from the power given to you. Say, do it this way because I am this way.
Yes.
And it'll work. And when we don't have it that way and the God's original intent and plan is shucked by man again.
Right, right.
Then we reap the consequences.
You said a word, a role. That's huge. Our culture really has had difficulties with that role. Even the world against the church. I believe when the Southern Baptists came and they made a statement of faith about family, and the specifics of that was about the role of the man and the role of the woman. Man, it just blew. You thought it was apocalypse happening here in the United States because they said, you can't say that. You can't put that woman down. You can't denigrate her and say she's the slave. But the real issue was about the role. Now, the Southern Baptists didn't say that.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible said that.
the very beginning, when we look at the roles of the home, we talked about the purpose, but let's look at the makeup or the role of the home. Well, it starts with the male. Well, excuse me, let me back up with that. It starts with God.
Yeah.
Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. See, if God is not the God of your home, there's no sense in you trying to make understanding about what's wrong with your home or what's wrong with our culture.
If God is not the God of your home, you cannot have a godly home.
There you go. Amen. I mean, that's well put, and that's succinct. Everybody ought to get that right there. It starts right there. In the beginning, from the very beginning, it started with God. Mm-hmm. He is the author. He is the initiator. He began it all. And the first thing he does in verse 26, then he said, let us make man, male and female. Mm-hmm. And notice the order. Paul even alludes to this later on. I believe it's to the Corinthians, where he says, for God made man first. Paul wasn't saying, hey, I'm a man, therefore I'm going to elevate man. He just recognized the role that God had already placed.
The divine order.
Now, as I sit here and I say that, and you listen to that, and there's maybe some of you who are out there, man, you just struggle with that. Maybe because there's been some mistreatment, or maybe there's been some misappropriation of the functions of that role in your life. Therefore, you have trouble hearing that. Maybe you struggle with men or the male figure, or maybe the opposite. Maybe you're a young man and you just struggle with that female figure and the role and the purpose. Listen, you got to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You got to go back to the origin of how God began it. We have messed some things up.
Absolutely.
We have definitely flawed some perfect, well, no doubt, read the scripture. We flawed some perfect plans. So don't measure that. Go back to that law of first mention. Look at how God initiated, how God purposed it. And then there, now we've got a direction to get things righted. So hang with me. Don't block this out as we talk about the roles and we talk about the positions. But first and key, let's go back to it. It's got to be God.
Amen.
And we don't put him as head of our household. We acknowledge he is.
He already is that.
He is head. He is first.
That's good.
And then he creates the man to be his representative, the female, right there alongside. Matter of fact, if you're still in the scriptures or just listening along, later on, look at this, Genesis chapter 2. Notice this as he says in verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. That's Genesis 2, verse 7. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to dive all into any kind of scientific debate about the creation, the origin of the universe. I'm just going to take God at his word. And when he says that that's how it happened, I believe that's how it happened. He created man, and that's how he created him. And he noticed something. One of the few things we talk about when we teach that God said it's not good, that's not functional, is in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone.
Amen.
Amen to that, brother. I'm celebrating 15 years
next week.
Yeah. And I know that personally. But you know what? I know that for my kids as well.
That's right.
When God created Eve, look at the words he said. He had told him earlier, it's not good for man to be alone. Look at it. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Listen, we're relational.
Yeah.
God, when God set this family up, it was made to be relational. The family today is more dysfunctional than it's ever began because we have men and women living together. And it doesn't matter if you share the same last name, if you have a ring or not. If you are just existing together, it is not a godly union. If you are not relating, if you are not helping each other, if you're not fulfilling these roles. You know, we're real quick as a church to bash cohabitation. And I do believe we find merit in God's word that says that is not God's plan, even right here. But even still, you may be living with your wife 10 years, 20 years, but if you are not, as Peter said, dwelling with her in unity, you're missing the whole origin of why God created us relational
beings. Then it goes back to if you're not filling the God-defined roles.
Yes,
it doesn't matter how we step outside of those roles, it brings dysfunction.
Yes, it does.
And sometimes that crack starts small, and sometimes we don't even notice that small crack.
Right.
But before you know it, the concrete is coming apart.
Yeah, it is.
And let me tell you something that came to my heart with the idea of being alone. I do my best, and Jennifer, my wife, to uphold God in this family, in this home. I want it to be that way, and we're learning to do that better and better all the time together and with the kids. Let me tell you what my kids know, though. If Jennifer and I every now and then get into something,
argument or
disagreement occurs, even in that temporary separation, there's an alone that happens,
and it
disturbs even my kids. Sometimes, in order just to collect my thoughts and not step outside of what God wants me to do, I'll walk outside.
Amen.
And pray a little bit and get my heart in right so I can come back and be a man of God in the home and not in the flesh. When I step outside, there is an alone that takes place.
Yeah.
And even my kids recognize that because the unity that God means right there for us to have. There's so much to be said about that.
Sure it is. And it goes back to that point we said earlier. What the purpose of the home is to relate the unity of heaven.
Yes.
That Trinity, that togetherness. Look through the scriptures. You will always find unity between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And God is calling the home to represent that here on earth. And just as you mentioned, those cracks that form, we don't have to tell our kids, hey, mommy and daddy aren't agreeing right now and we're kind of upset. We need you to be upset. You don't have to say that.
No.
Those kids will naturally respond. Why? Because they were purposed. They were intended. They were grafted to be unified just as it is in heaven.
Can we talk about the one time in the word that I can think of that unity between the God the Father and God the Son was shaken?
Come on.
When Jesus cried out, why have you forsaken me? In the moment he bore all our sins, and God had to strike that that point and that rift. I think that's why he sweat blood in the garden, because he knew that tear for a moment was coming that would buy our salvation and pay for our way to have relationship. But that moment where that disunity for a second took place because sin entered in.
Sin.
And that's really a glimpse of what we do on a much minor level in our home when there is that disunity.
I mean, if we wanted to simplify this whole little message right here, it would be simply this. Cracks form because sin. I mean, we could simplify. And it doesn't matter. Cracks in the culture, cracks in your home. It is going to be a derivative of sin.
Yeah.
Rebellion against God's purposes and plans.
Because
that's what we're looking
at. That original intent was shaken and disturbed because of sin.
You find right there at the end, and there's just so much to say as far as those roles right there. He calls the woman, he calls her a helper.
Mm-hmm.
Helper. Now, in our culture, you'd call somebody a helper, and that would be derogatory. Well, you're not good enough to be the main person. That's how our culture would look at things. An assistant, they're not good enough to be the boss.
Yeah.
And not understanding, they're trying to denigrate based on a term, not recognizing the need for the right roles.
Absolute
and the right
necessity
relationships.
Of it.
If you study the scriptures, guess what you'll find? God is the helper. My help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
You'll find Jesus says this, I'm going to send you another helper.
That's exactly
so if he
what
says another,
thinking.
What is he saying about himself? I've been your helper. And of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Can you come back next week?
Man, you better believe
it. I think we've just opened up this idea of the family and foundations. Truth Seekers, come back next week. Brother Corey will be here, and we'll tie into this again, talk about these roles maybe in a little more depth.
Yeah, let's do that.
Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.